Two movies enter, one movie leaves as we watch two gun shies. One came out this year starring Antonio Banderas. The other came out 17 years ago starring Liam Neeson. All today, is that going to be the only one?
You're too shy, shy, hush, hush, I do I. Too shy, shy, hush, hush, I do I. Too shy, shy, hush, hush, I do I. Too shy, shy, hush, hush.
Welcome to the That Can Be Only One podcast, where we watch two movies with the exact same title and determine if one or two of these movies need to change it, because why are you naming your film after something that already exists out there? Come on, man. My name's Robert Rao, and joining me today is...
Herman Omega Prime Davis.
Oh, boy. We got some great stuff for you today. This was something that popped up on Amazon Prime recently, a film done by the great Simon West, who has done... okay films throughout the years, including Con Air, and what was the other one that they listed?
He did Expendables 2.
He did Expendables 2. Yeah, he's one of those action directors that did not go through the cult of Jerry Bruckheimer, so he kind of strayed from the path a little bit. But if you looked at his credits, you're like, hey, this guy should be making some great films. Or he could be making films starring Antonio Banderas, which is what he is doing. Mm-hmm. Now, this is a film that was not really released in theaters or around here. Maybe it got released worldwide. Maybe there's a gross outside of what we saw. But to give you a little bit of a taste of the film that we've already seen, let's go ahead and throw up that trailer. Give him some of that beautiful bean footage right there.
No preamble, huh? You just want to get right to it.
I'm speaking in code. My wife and I were on a lovely vacation. I had an important meeting.
Where is your sense of adventure?
So she went out to see the local wildlife.
Wow! What is wrong with you?
And met up with some fans.
You are Dirk Henry's wife.
And now they want to meet me.
This could be a straightforward kidnapping. Or something more sinister, like terrorists.
Terrorists? Terrorists?
We heard some chatter from the Homeland NSA metadata harvest.
Oh, cut me off.
Yeah, we're back right now. Yeah. All right, so Antonio Banderas, he is the bass player and lead singer of a band called, you remember what the name of it is?
Yeah, I do.
What was it called?
I ain't telling you.
Oh, thank you. Appreciate it. I have to look it up now.
Machine something. Machine Gears.
I'm not editing this out. Come on, man.
Metal Gear.
That wasn't it.
No, it had an AM. It's AMMA. Machine Animals. Machine Oreallos. I don't know.
It's going to take a while for me to pull it up. It's not coming up automatically.
Machine Death.
When I pull it up and it's Samsonite, you're going to be like, oh, I can't believe.
Samsonite? Nah. It was the Mihays and Archies.
No, keep going. Keep going.
Machine Alligators.
No, sure not.
Machine Arsenal.
Was it Machine Arsenal?
Yeah, I think so.
What? You tell me, dude. I still haven't been able to pull it up yet.
Machine Arsenal, Machine Against the Rage.
It's only saying Rockstar. He is a mega platinum rock star, supermodel wife. Mm-hmm. It doesn't say...
Machine Against the Rage. That's what it is, man.
Let's see if I can just do gun shy band name. Let's see if that'll
come up. Well, we so professional here.
Of course. Why wouldn't we be? Well, that's why I was like, well, you know, so I don't know why you agreed with me on that. Now I have to look it up.
Out of this whole hour and a half movie, I pay attention to the whole movie. You asked me the one trivia question I don't know. Oh, boy, that's funny. No, it's not. But I'm going to go ahead and say it's funny anyway. Machine, Rise of the Machine.
This is so great. I love this. Keep it going, man. You are honing in on this machine part.
I think it's Machine.
I
know Machine is one. Now, that'd be funny if Machine is not even in the title. But that'd be funny, too.
What's weird is none of these plots actually give you a title of but Rock I can Man. Tell you all the other films he's directed. He directed Stolen. He directed The Mechanic, When a Stranger Called.
Mechanic Animals.
And is it was that it?
No.
Were you just throwing out other things, just trying to think of this up?
Yeah.
This is great. I remember the name of his hit song, Teenage Ass Patrol. But
of course, that's the hot song ever, right there. I mean,
but I don't remember the name of the band that that was. They were called Metal Assassin. That's what they were.
There you go. See,
no machine in it whatsoever. But for some reason, you're like the worst Pictionary player out there. You're like, oh, it's machine. I'm gonna hone in on this. It's gonna be the.
I say Metal Gear, and I say, boy, I tell you, I'm just throwing off.
Yes. Well, we know what your stroke's going to be for later on in life. Machine. It'll be machine related. He was the bass player for this band, but they broke up mainly because he was addicted to drugs, and his now wife, played by Olga Korolenko, had got him off the drugs. So now they are freewheeling and basically staying at home. But he's like, the wife's like, hey, let's go down to Chile because I need a way to get out of here. And so they go down there, and she gets promptly kidnapped by these wannabe terrorists. He now spends the rest of the movie trying to figure out how to give them $1 million, because whenever he finds out about the ransom note, he's like, $1 million? I got $1 million. Just give him $1 million. Who cares? So a lot of this is the hijinks that ensue between him and the federal agents that think that the people involved are a lot more dangerous than what he leads them on to believe. So you have what this movie has, as many of these other films that we watch has, which is filler. Stuff that really didn't need to be in the movie, but had to be because they had to fill some time. Like they had the federal agent trying to stop him by letting loose a poison snake into a hot tub, and the poison snake biting his dick off, you know, like stuff like that, you know, and then dying of alcohol poisoning, which is what all
the snake died. Yeah.
Yeah. So it had some other running jokes, but I think if anything sells this movie more, or at least a reason to watch this, it's Antonio Banderas. He, for even though he knows what he's doing, like he's hit the Steven Seagal, Jean-Claude Van Damme part of his life where he's having to make these type of movies. He's like, I don't care. I'll just keep doing what I'm doing because I know the moment I stop doing this, they're going to stop asking me to be in movies. So I'm going to continue to make these weird-ass films that don't make it into the theaters. I'm going to give 110%, and that's exactly what he did. He played the aging rock star to as much perfection as Antonio Banderas could, who really is kind of not the right person you would cast for something like this, because the whole time he's like saying, I'm from London. Yeah. Why are you speaking Spanish to me? I do not understand. Could you understand with this thick London accent that I have going on?
He didn't even try to break a British accent.
No, he's not really one for impressions.
No.
This was clearly like a meant for a Russell Brand type, like a movie where you have a guy that has... Ooh. Has like the rock motif, but is on the other
you know
side
what?
Of his career.
Now that you mention it, Russell Brand would have been perfect for this role.
It would have been, but I imagine he would have cost a little bit more than what Antonio Banderas.
I know, isn't
cast.
That funny? Now Russell Brand actually turned down a movie, and Antonio Banderas is the second choice.
Yeah, go figure, huh?
Yeah, Mr. Desperado.
Well, he may not have turned it down, but anyway, the more important thing, and I think at least the part that we cover on the show. That's for certain.
Mm-hmm.
This movie should not have been called Gunshot.
No, well,
it's tough to even like wait for the other film because we haven't seen that one yet.
This is not a name I was going to think about renaming it, but it was adapted from a book called Salty, and that was the working title for this movie.
Yes.
So I don't see how this was salty at all. It actually was bitter to me. Left a bad taste in my mouth. You know.
Why is that, Herman?
Because I actually, okay, this is one of the first time in a while that I actually tried to pay attention to the movie.
No, you didn't.
Robert was talking his ass off about all these film festivals, the Overlook Film Festival, the Baton Rouge Film Festival, the South by Southwest Festival.
I was just naming you all the credits that Gunshot was at. I don't know why you were, why you cared about that sort of stuff.
I mean, I paid attention so much that Robert didn't even notice that famed British actor who I can't remember his name now.
Metal Machine
Lee
Machine. David Mitchell's in this movie, which yeah, when I looked, I was like, oh shit, he's in this movie.
Yeah, way at the end. But it was one of the movies that just felt like
it's silly. That's all this movie is. Probably. There's nothing more to call it other than it's silly. Like everything about it. There isn't a real plot to go on.
No.
You just have to, you're either in it or not in it based off of Antonio's performance. Really, the times he was off the screen, this movie was boring. I enjoyed Antonio's performance throughout this entire
thing. Yeah, because Olga and the kidnapper, whatever they were trying to do, did not really work out. I don't know what the hell that was about.
Well, they were trying to get them to bond, like get a weird Stockholm Syndrome thing going with them, but, you know, because that stuff's funny, but it didn't play very well. Mm-hmm. And then you had the federal agent with his gang of people that were messing around. Then you had the Aussie that was like the wild card throughout the whole thing. And then you had the assistant coming that was helping him. So they had your whole cast of characters that were supposed to support Antonio Banderas, but really, Antonio could have just done all this by himself and just talked to himself the whole time, because that would have been more entertaining to me.
Oh, yeah, that little kid else. With that selling him beer.
That actually worked, too.
That actually was pretty good interaction.
All he would say would beer, and he's like, yeah, man, totally. And then just interpreted it other ways. That was like his...
Wilson?
No, you got to look for somebody that only says one word, it's not Chewbacca, but or Smurfs, it's something else, like where all they can say is one word, and people just keep interpreting it as something else every time. Mm. God, there was like who are characters that only say one word?
A lot of people that I can't think of, because when you say it, Johnny Five.
No, it says a lot more than one word. No.
He's a machine.
He's his Groot. That's a good one.
Yeah, Groot.
Yeah.
I was going to say that.
Yeah. Machine. What's the name of the band now? What is it? what is it? Come on.
Metal Assassin. I got it?
Yes.
Yeah, thank God.
It's Metal Assassin.
I had to think
Herman's
about
first
it.
Tattoo will be Metal Assassin tattoo, just so he knows it.
I think, once again, this was like a travel out for Chile. They try to show you, you know, Chile as a vacation spot, but I'm not going to Chile.
No, not really. I don't.
I'm not going to Chile.
They may have gotten like some tax breaks for using it, but that was not a way to show like the fun side of Chile. If they're like showing you off season stuff and him showing up in the winter, yeah. This was not a in Bruges where it ended up being a way of showing off a country to you.
I think
this was just a hey, we can film here sort of thing. That's all it was.
I think you're right though. I think Antonio probably got paid the most because they put the movie.
Oh really? You're going out on a limb on that one.
They put it on crowdfunding, crowdsourcing, and donations. They had a guy standing on the interstate begging for change. This is a low budget movie, really.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I'm not dismissing it as much as you did, Herman. I thought it was fine for what it was.
Okay, the best thing about this movie was the end credits.
That was the weird part of it, where they not only had like some deleted scenes, they actually had some epilogues going with Antonio Banderas' manager, played by David Mitchell, where he ended up like fighting other people to keep his money or something like that. Like he eventually stole the money from Antonio Banderas, which made him go out onto the road once again. So if you were to rename this film into something else other than either Salty or Gunshy, what would you call this film?
The Chili Ransom.
Why is it called that?
Because Chile played a major part in it, and
it was just where they were.
Yeah, and there's a ransom of all.
You just added Chile in front of a Mel Gibson.
Would you
film.
Go see a movie called Chile Ransom?
No.
Oh, okay.
No.
Yes, you would.
I would not.
Yeah, if it was that fantastic.
Why wouldn't you call it the Chile Connection? Like more than anything, because we've used Connection quite a bit. You don't call it Chile Ransom.
Yeah. Okay, that makes more. That rolls off the tongue a little bit better.
I actually had a better title for this.
Go ahead.
Colossal Prick.
Ooh.
Because I think it fits several definitions of what they were trying to do in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't think Prick's enough on its own. That Colossal Prick works better just because he just acts like a guy that feels like he can do any and everything he wants to, and then his dick comes off. So colossal prick. I think he becomes the dick. You know, once his dick leaves, it becomes like Daredevil. Like he inherits like more stronger powers where it was all honed in on his penis. Now it's all like all throughout the rest of his body. You know.
But okay, that's probably gonna be the name. But why would they even name this movie Gunshot though? Let me get to that right fast.
I think it may just have been a euphemism for like him
being confident.
Something to that degree, because he was heavy into sex, and now he's not because of his addiction. He's trying to hold back on his addiction, so he's gun shy. So they wanted to it's not guns; it's definitely more of a penis thing more than anything. That's where I assume that they were going on this. But I like Colossal Prick better.
Okay,
more than maybe because of his attitude that he was acting. I think there was very little guns in this whatsoever. This was just more of a going around sort of thing. I think it was a competently made movie, except near the middle where they weren't sure how to fill the time, and they should have spent more time with Antonio Banderas instead of everybody else.
They should have had that Bollywood experience.
Yeah, that would have been great if they added that, like just more of him just being experiencing Chile on his own. Like if they actually made this about him being around Chile and then occasionally getting involved with the ransom of his wife, it would have made for a more entertaining movie than what we watched.
I mean, I'm glad they cast Ola because she needs to work.
No. She made a whole bunch of money off a movie nobody's ever going to see.
My bad. Well, I'm still glad they cast Ola because, you know, I like seeing her on the screen, but I wish they didn't cast her because that made them pay attention to the wife a little bit more. And if they, like you said, if the wife wasn't a big name star, it would have been more by Antonio.
Are you saying, like, what happened in Bright? Like, that was one thing that you don't see a lot in movies where he basically says, hey, I need for you to get out of the city right now. And she just leaves.
Yeah, basically, yeah.
So, yeah, this movie is, it's fine. It's the reason why you have Amazon Prime. If you see, like, Antonio Banderas in a movie and you're like, oh, there he is, I'll go watch this. That's basically what this is. And I have a feeling that the next movie that we have on this list will be similar. Because you have Liam Neeson starring in a film where he is an undercover detective trying to take out a mob hitman, I believe.
I did not read none of the
and he is and so you have Sandra Bullock as like a love interest at the same time. So he's on medications because he doesn't want to do what he does, and he finds the love of his wife in the process, and I have a feeling something's going to come up with that. Man, Sandra, without actually seeing it.
Sandra Bullock was really trying to, I mean, before she made it big in Speed,
this is After Speed.
Is After Speed?
Yeah.
Wow.
In fact, that's what this movie should be called. After Speed.
I never seen this
movie. It's 2000.
Really?
Well, Speed came before 2000. Because I saw Speed in theaters, and when we got home, the O.J. Simpson chase was happening. That puts that movie around 93, 94, somewhere around there.
Yeah, boy, you old.
I know. I'm an old dude. Yep, that's me.
Yeah.
I know that. I accept that I'm old. Yeah. And I have no problem yelling at clouds. That's just what I do now. This is what old men do. And I can be curmudgeon about things, including what we're about to watch. So,
yeah, we will be curmudgeon, just like Liam Neeson.
All right, let's go watch it. Right. Here's a bit of a trailer. There we go.
I just want you to know I'm not into searching for my inner child or finding out about my disappointment in my mother. Mommy.
Go ahead, wipe your eyes.
Undercover police officer Charlie Mayo is about to take on the last assignment of his career.
Tonight, you're busting a mafia assassin.
Oh, the guy's the Jeffrey Dahmer of hitmen.
I'm sick of being a cliche. I need some cash so I can get out of this skinny gangsta movie lifestyle.
And he's looking to relieve a little stress.
I'm going to give you a stronger prescription. Only take one of these an hour before the meeting. You don't want to pass out.
Let's get this party rolling. Bring some Cristal.
I'm very good at reading what's in a person's eyes.
What did they say?
They say you're sleepy.
Maybe you've got that weird sleeping disease. Narco sleepy.
But all he really needs is a little human contact.
Take it easy. So where are you from?
Ireland.
Top of the morning to you.
Oh.
Put your hand on the table. I won't say it again.
Your paper. Let the neighbor go.
Sports page here.
All I really want to talk about is this amazing woman I met.
What do you say, handsome?
I think somebody up there likes me.
She's great. She took me out on a date last night.
We're back, everybody.
Yay! Yeah.
trying to psych you out, but that didn't work.
Hey, we just finished watching Gunshy, starring Liam Neeson, Sandra Bullock, Oliver Platt, and special appearance by Taylor Negron, a person only I know.
Yes.
Herman was blanking until I told him he was the brother of the brother and sister duo from Nothing But Trouble, and he's like, oh, the movie I remember every single person in. I remember that dude. It wasn't Daniel Baldwin. It wasn't Digital Underground. It wasn't any of the people that Dan Aykroyd played. Why, it was that lovable scamp that tried to have another language that he was trying to pretend that he knew.
It wasn't John Candy?
It wasn't any of the John Candies. The canned eyes, as everybody knows when you pluralize a John Candy. Mm-hmm. He comes in a six-pack, just like every other candy bars.
You know? A keg.
Hmm? A what?
Never mind.
Okay. Yes. All right. You went too far.
Yeah.
See, I never go too far.
Yeah.
My limits are endless. Herman's are pretty limited. Yay, limits. Limits to your limits. That's what you need. So Liam Neeson is in...
just say it was limitless, but I'm limited, so I thought...
Yes, you are limited. You have a limited engagement of your limited.
I don't know exactly
what you did.
Yeah, go ahead with your synopsis.
Jingle the keys, jingle the keys. Liam Neeson is an undercover cop, and he has been in the business for far too long. It is messing with his head, it is messing with his body, it is messing with every piece and facet of his being, and it's come to a point where he has decided to take up therapy, to get a hot girlfriend that does butt stuff on the first date, and then decide to rob the mob of $20 million. That's pretty much the entire movie is what... There were small little gatherings every once in a while where they talked about things, but majority of the movie is dealing with Liam Neeson trying to handle all this stuff. They did gloss over the fact that he is Irish and also a cop, which doesn't happen very often. Whenever you are from one country and go into another one, you don't exactly get into law enforcement.
He was with DEA. I mean, not saying that, you know... They wouldn't put an Irishman in the DEA, but wasn't that... I don't know. I guess that makes sense.
Well, I think he's just learned to be American. Like, he's developed a better American accent now. It's not too far off whenever he started doing the Takens, but he didn't bother trying to say, like, he's Irish and he was a bodyguard. Like, he could have easily just been Irish in that film. But he's like, nope, I'm American in this one. We're going to be American from now on. So that's the difference between... Liam Neeson taking these colorful roles back then as opposed to taking them now. He has, like, really dropped that whole Irish thing completely. Like, almost all of his starring roles, they don't even bother to say that he's Irish anymore. He's just... And it's not like his American accent is great. It's okay.
No. It's... He got a... How come
He doesn't try like a Western or Southern sort of accent. He just kind of grumbles a little bit more. That's about as far of an accent that he goes.
Has he ever narrated a book? Because that, I think
he was Aslan. He didn't have to narrate a book.
He was what?
He was Aslan.
Who's Aslan?
He was the lion in Lion, Witch, and Wardrobe.
Oh man, I never watched that.
Okay.
Nah.
All right. He's Zeus. He doesn't have to do anything. He can do whatever he wants.
Okay.
He was Clash of the Titans and Wrath of the Titans. He was Zeus.
He released the Kraken.
Yes.
Yes.
So you don't have to release a book, audio book of anything. He just does it on his own.
I'm saying Will Wheaton could do it.
No, he did not. No.
Will Wheaton did.
I'm not saying he didn't do it. Just saying that is not a good representation of somebody who can do audiobooks, because all he's doing is he's just saying geeky stuff. He's not a person that is audiobook quality. They went, oh, look, who's doing the book on this? Somebody who's a geek? What? It might as well have just been like Patton Oswalt doing it. That's all it is. You have the triad of people that when they pop up as the geek represented, like, if you have, I wouldn't even say like it's a triad. There's probably like a Mount Rushmore of geeks that we're kind of embarrassed that we are represented by. You have Will Wheaton.
Yes.
You have Patton Oswalt. You have Felicia Day, and you have...
Galecki?
No. No, Chris Hardwick, I would say, is the fourth one.
right.
Maybe a Kevin Smith as like a like on a smaller mountain onto the side somewhere.
When I think of geek, I automatically think of Anthony Michael Hall from Breakfast Club, but but that's
he never embraced his geekness. I know
because
that.
He really got buffed up and like I say he's a geek in Breakfast Club, but when you go to Edward Scissorhands and the Day Zone series, like, nah, he's not a geek no more.
And I wouldn't say he's even buffed up in these films. He's just a bigger dude. That's all it is. Mm. Nah, I wouldn't call him geek.
Okay.
In anything. It's just people that now are considered the representatives, and we're like, well, we were happy that they've gotten a following. Like, they're people that we are okay, that are doing well in life, but don't consider them the heads of state when it comes to geekdom. Like, if they appear in an episode of Big Bang Theory, everybody goes nuts. And that's sad. I don't know what should be the Mount Rushmore of geeks, but it shouldn't be those guys. It should be like Gary Gygax. That would probably be on that list.
You're right, because as much as I'm a Star Trek fan, I do not consider Will Wheaton a geek. I mean, I really don't. Really don't like him that much, but that's all
right. Yeah, of course you don't. You're the one that brought him up.
Yeah, I know. That's what I do.
All right, so Liam Neeson, I would say, is not really the standout performance in this. I go for Oliver Platt. I liked his performance a lot more as the mob guy that took some interesting turns about his anger management skills. He would definitely be like the wild card of this movie. If things were going smooth sailing, he was not having any part of it. He would do something completely different in order to set it off. And to set you up on this, you have an initial conversation he has with his neighbor where he wants to cut off his hand because he thinks he sold the newspaper.
Mm-hmm.
And then his wife just drops it in front of him and he's like, okay, fine. He has a sports section? Okay, we're good. And nothing else is brought up of it. Even he says, like, hey, my car's not working. Can you drive me into the city? You know?
Yeah.
It's just one of those personalities of he knows what he's doing is right, so it doesn't matter what anybody else does. And I appreciate stuff like that in a movie like this. It's something slightly refreshing. I'm not saying this is a great or a bad movie. This is about average, like the first film we watched. Maybe a tad bit better.
Well, it's better.
It's a tad bit. I wouldn't say it's like monumental.
Hey, Robert, doesn't matter if it's a 1 inch better or 1 centimeter better, it's better.
That's not the range. One centimeter and 1 inch are not that far apart. That's like saying if it's 1 mile or if it's 1 millimeter, it's still the same. You know, that would be you're just saying it's better. But yeah, of course,
there you go.
We're not concerned about if it's better. Does it earn the title of gun shy?
No, it does not.
Okay, so what is the title that it should be? I'm all ears on this, Herman. Let's hear what you have to say.
Drum roll, right?
All right, let's hear it. Come on. I'm not drum rolling. Just say something.
A relief.
Machine. Machine. Relief?
Nah. Teenage. I can't get it out.
Teenage Ass Patrol. Yes. Teenage Ass Patrol.
No. Like you say, his girlfriend, played by Sandra Bullock, was she called herself an enemy queen. I can't say that word right. Enema.
Right.
Did I say that right?
You don't have to keep saying it over and over again. I know what you're saying. There's no like a Beetlejuice that you're summoning this way. Just say, keep going.
Somebody might stick a plastic tube up my ass. But
yes.
That's what she did.
Well, that's what happens when you get older, Herman. That's just something that's going
to
happen, man.
But that's what she did for a living. So I was trying to think of something like, like with that, like, rear relief.
No. No, they even brought it up in the movie whenever he's talking to his focus group where he says, you have a guy that's been doing this for a while and he just doesn't have his fastball anymore, and he's like, well, that's when you have to switch to the changeup. And I was that light went off in my head whenever he said it, because it's throwing the changeup makes more sense, because it's somebody that's been dealing with having a perfect record, not having, you know, like being an undercover cop and dealing on anything, and now he's dealing with a situation where he might die, or he doesn't feel confident in saving himself, so he has to change up what he's doing So he's throwing the changeup. That's what he's doing. Well,
damn, Robert. I mean, it took about 70 episodes since we did Friend Trip, but that's the first time in a while that I can't argue with that damn name. That's a good damn. That's a, no joke. That's a good ass name. Damn, that fit this movie perfectly. Okay,
I like the name I had for the first movie too. I don't know why you're saying this for the second one. I like the first one as well.
What was the first one? No,
Teenage Ass Patrol, baby. Woohoo!
Yeah. But this one fit that one better. You know, this is
Colossal
better.
Prick is what I had for the first one.
Yeah.
Uh huh. Mm-hmm. Ah, but you didn't have anything else?
No, I can't. I can't send nothing that changed up.
Now, what's funny is that you were mentioning that you thought this was like early in Sandra Bullock's career, where this might actually be like whenever she was at the height of her career, like doing romantic comedies. What would you say is the movie she did before and the movie after that this came out?
Okay, I would say the movie she did before this is, that ain't her movie. The Lake House, the one with Keanu Reeves.
Okay.
And after this, I would say Miss Congeniality.
So the before was the Lake House.
I got that right, damn.
No, I'm repeating what you were saying.
Oh, shit, goddamn. Yeah.
She is credited with 57 movie appearances, or as actresses. So the film that she did before was Forces of Nature.
Okay.
The film that she did afterwards was 28 Days. So
I was close.
How is that close? How do you know? I didn't even mention either one of them.
Wait, how was in 28 Days?
She was in 28 Days, not 28 Days Later is what you're thinking of. Sorry.
All right.
And it does not count. There's no way that's going to count toward doing any of this stuff. So, no. The Lake House was done after Miss Congeniality. It was actually done after Miss Congeniality 2.
Oh.
It came out in 2006. But around that time, she had done The Prince of Egypt, Practical Magic, Hope Floats, Speed 2 Cruise Control.
She did Practical Magic and Forces of Nature?
Yes.
She was really getting the supernatural, huh?
Do you know the difference between Forces... In Practical Magic, she was a witch. That's the difference between what you were talking about.
So what was she was in Forces of Nature?
It's just a romantic comedy. That's all that was.
You mean no magic involved?
A soon-to-be-married man encounters an exciting stranger after his plane suffers an accident on takeoff.
So that's why they call it Forces of Nature.
Yes, it was with her and Ben Affleck.
Affleck.
Yeah, that's who it was.
Affleck.
Good for you. You figured out his last name. Is that a memorying tool?
Yeah, Affleck.
Yeah, I know how you remember that. What's the name of that band that Antonio Banderas is in?
Affleck.
Machine.
Metal Gear.
Nope.
Machine Answer.
No. There's no machine in this. You just keep saying machine over and over again for whatever dumb reason.
Metal Gear?
No, why do you keep saying Metal Gear? That's not it.
I don't know, man. What's the name? Memory sucks. Shit. It's not Machine?
No. I already told you it had nothing to do with Machine, but you kept repeating it over and over again. That's going to be like your ringtone. I'm going to create an MP3 file of you just going, machine.
Okay, hold on, tell me. Metal. Is that metal?
No, it's just funny. Just keep going.
Oh, shit. It's not Arsenal. Oh, I keep saying Arsenal. Metal. Shit. Amateurs.
This is great because now we have like we're bookending you attempting to remember the same thing, and you can't remember it.
Oh, metal animals, metal animals. No, it's not metal animals.
No,
shit, metal
assassin.
There you go. I'll get it eventually. Woo, shit, damn.
Yeah, we're going to have to fit Herman for one of those butt things so he can remember stuff. That's how you remember things now, with an enema. It clears everything up, baby.
Oh, now you won't say the word.
Yeah.
When I was asking for help earlier.
You said it. You kept saying it for whatever reason. I don't know why.
I need an enema.
All right, fine. all right, so what's the name of the band again? Come on.
Metal.
What is it?
Enema.
Oh, shit, so metal. Close.
I just said it, Robert.
Yeah, you did. I said it.
Meta Assassin. There you go. That was the
Oh, man.
Shit.
This is why you write things down, Herman, so you don't have to bother trying to remember it. You need a device in your life to be able to write things down so you don't have to remember anything again.
You know what's crazy? I used to memorize encyclopedias and shit, but now...
More than one?
Huh?
All right.
Yeah, I grew up with the Encyclopedia Britannica.
Okay.
So, you know, I used to actually memorize. I actually got through the whole set and shit. That's how I was... That's
how did it end? Who did it?
That's how I got
so good. Did ZZ Top do it?
That's how I got so good in trivia and shit, but now I can't remember nothing.
Oh, well, sorry about that.
Yeah, it happens.
All right, so I think we cleaned this stuff up pretty quickly. Like, we were able to get all the necessary information out and in this podcast on both the Gun Shies. Do you feel like you can recommend either one of these movies? You want to recommend one or not?
I recommend the Liam Neeson and Sandra Bullock one. It was very fun. I mean, like you said, Oliver Platt, I haven't seen him perform in a while, and that performance...
Well, that's on you.
I know. But
it's not like he isn't doing anything. It's like you're avoiding him.
Yeah, basically. Because
you
just
think he's hot, and you're like, oh, I can't look at him.
And also Michael DiLorenzo and... I don't know the other guy's name, his real name.
Uh-huh.
But those two guys, they was like the comedic relief in this movie, and it was just funny the way they play off of each other.
Okay.
So I recommend it. The Antonio Banderas Gunshy could have been better if they didn't cut some scenes out of it, I think. So I don't recommend it.
But they had to put something at the end of the movie.
Yeah, but...
You got to cut in the middle so you can have some sweet, sweet eye candy at the very end.
Mm-hmm.
At least that's kind of how it went. I think they realized they spent all that money on that one dance number. They're like, it's not in the movie anymore, so I guess we got to put it at the end.
If you already have Amazon Prime membership, watch it. If you don't, no need to get it.
The second movie, and I don't mean this in a good or a bad way, reminded me of the second Search and Destroy we watched, the one with John Turturro and Christopher Walken.
Yes, I was thinking that too.
Yeah, it just had that, I guess, a feel. Of movies trying to be a certain type of genre mm-hmm. around the time. I mean, we're talking about around the time like Get Shorty came out and Out of Sight, where people were trying to get a mix of like that gray area of either being a cop or a gangster mm-hmm. and getting that everybody mixed up into it. It reminded me a lot of one of the misfires that happened during that time.
Yeah.
And it even had a soundtrack. Like when they were playing that one song, you can actually buy the soundtrack to Gunshy. Like that's just something you did.
Yes,
you don't
right.
see that anymore. You don't like they don't make soundtracks for movies anymore because you just get the songs online. Like I was thinking about that with Baby Driver. Like I really like the music, but all I have to do is find someone's playlist that somebody put on YouTube because they're all songs that existed. You don't have to go and buy the soundtrack for that.
They're trying to get back to it. Like I say, some movies I don't watch recently. I noticed that they have original songs. You know,
well the original songs is different. I'm just saying like of previous material like. Like how everybody bought the Guardians of the Galaxy soundtrack. Why?
Yeah, you're right.
Why would
that.
You? It existed.
Yeah.
There are a bunch of songs out there. I'm not saying that people don't make original songs for movies. Those, you know, like that's then go out and buy those songs. But I'm talking about the ones where they just use pre-existing material. I remember I did that all the time, like for all the Quentin Tarantino movies. These were all songs that existed, but I was like, I'm buying the soundtrack. I don't do it anymore.
I thought Quentin basically made his own music for his movies. Right?
What, Reservoir Dogs? No.
Okay,
Pulp Fiction? No. Jackie Brown? No. He may have
Kill
he got
Bill?
Marconi. No.
No?
No, not again. Also, pre-existing material that he used.
Really?
Yeah. You really? I mean, there was that stuff that the RZA did, but I wouldn't say that you would call it that. Then in the second one, Kill Bill Volume 2... There was like soundtrack music that Rob Rodriguez did for him as like a favor, but no, like all the other songs, like the like that stuff. Whenever she went mad,
mm-hmm.
you know that was just you know, or like he used the Green Hornet song, or he used that one song from the whistling song that was
the Andy Griffith theme song.
Yeah, the Andy Griffith theme song. Yeah. Whenever she's going to go kill the bride. Yeah.
I would whistle, but you told me that doesn't come good.
Do,
yeah, okay.
do,
I could do that too.
Do, but, do, yeah.
I read a whistle.
All right, so we're changing both the titles of Gunshy. The first one, we're calling you Colossal Prick. The second one, we're going throwing a change up. Anything else you want to add to this? Are we calling it a night, Herman?
Yes, we're calling it a night.
You don't want to talk about anything else? Like, for example, your favorite band that plays the song Teenage Ass Patrol is done by... Come on. Do you remember it? It doesn't have Enema or Machine involved in these. Come on. You got this, Herman.
Metal Affleck.
Oh, so close.
Shit.
You were just trying to come up with something else, weren't you? Come on, man. Metal Assassin.
Yeah, that's what I say. What'd I say?
Not that.
Oh, okay.
If you say so, I think I
can. Excuse me. For another There Could Be Only One podcast, my name is Robert Rao.
Herman Omega Prime Davis.
Good night, everybody. I don't know why you were thinking that would be original music that I would love, whatever they showed on there, but no.
But
sorry, dude.
Okay, one thing I noticed, though, how come the critics in the audience
is
so different?
How come? Why are they so different?
Yeah, I mean, the critics
hate it. When you see a critic walk down the street, he's like, beep, I love Last Jedi. But when you see the audience walk down the street, they're like, beep, 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 I love Bright, blah, blah, blah.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, it is totally crazy, dude.
Uh-huh.
Why are they so different? Why can't they just be one thing? Why can't everybody agree on one thing, dude?
Yeah, why they can't all just get along?
Yeah, sure.
But I mean, I liked it, Brian. It just shocked me. Like, one critic was like, this is a piece of crap. This is one of the worst movie ever. I'm like, damn, I don't think it's the worst movie ever. I can see if you say, you know, you didn't like it. Damn, you know, I don't trust you as a critic no more.
Okay.
You know?
Sorry you've lost the business of Herman. To him giving you hugs for his reviews? What do you do in order for like him to just say like, oh, he's a total review guy that I love and I appreciate it, but giving him all my support.
Oh, he just gained my favor. You know,
okay.
Which the monetary value of that is
just some like you followed him on Instagram or something? Was that what you did?
Yeah. No. I don't think I followed another movie critic on Instagram. It's just
Why not?
Why would I follow a movie critic? That's like following a food critic. Like,
all right.
Like you could tell me what I like.
All right, we got enough.